Have you ever wondered why mothers feel like they're carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders? Are you ready to change the narrative? Y'all, I'm so excited for today's interview. I'm talking with Valerie Ricor. She is a productivity specialist and certified Fair Play Method facilitator, and we're going to explore the mental load of motherhood. Valerie shares her transformation from personal organizer to a passionate advocate for mothers, and she really talks about this challenge that working moms face balancing our personal and professional lives. We're going to unravel the complexity of the mental load. The mental load is the unseen everyday tasks that keep families running. We're also going to discover the cultural and historical reasons behind why this burden often falls on women and how to start shifting these patterns. Valerie provides practical advice on aligning family values, setting realistic household standards, and the importance of self-care and communication. So if you are a working mom or you're looking to support working moms in your life, this episode offers empathy and actionable solutions for a common yet overlooked challenge. Let's lighten the mental load of motherhood. Let's do this. Do you want to feel less scattered and more focused, but the idea of goal setting sounds like adding more pressure to your already pressure-filled life? If so, welcome to the Plan Goal Plan podcast. I'm Danielle McGee. I'm a professor, mom, planner addict, and recovering overachiever. After years of hustle and grind, I was tired of trying harder. I was ready to try easier. At the intersection of research, practice, and play, I found a purposeful path to planning and goal setting that is fun, simple, and sustainable. If you're ready to try easier, if you're ready to make memories and do meaningful work, grab a pen. I will equip you with tools and practices to clarify purpose, reclaim time, and achieve goals playfully and lightly. Let's get started. I am so excited to welcome today's guest, Valerie Ricor, a productivity specialist and certified Fair Play Method facilitator. I'm so jazzed for what we're going to talk about today. I think that so many of my listeners are going to find this incredibly helpful, and I think they're going to relate to what we're chatting about. So we're going to talk about the mental load of motherhood. But before we do, welcome.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here. I'm excited for this conversation as well.
Absolutely. So before we kind of jump into everything, I'm just interested in what inspired you to start learning about the invisible loads of moms?
Yeah. So I started my productivity business probably about 3 years ago. It was a professional organizing business to start with. And then a pandemic shut life down. And I was watching women get slammed across the board from reading stories about women who were shutting down their businesses because their husbands couldn't deal with the toddlers at home, to just watching moms struggle, as well as how I was feeling being at home with two small children trying to figure out what was going on. And coupled all of that with just a general fascination with time management. I love reading time management books and stories about how people were struggling. I'm a huge fan of Laura Vanderkam and Julie Morgenstern. I love reading their books, and also listening to friends and family complain about their partners, complain about their husbands as though they were another child, or talking about how busy we are as a badge of honor. And none of that sat well with me. There was just something about that was we can do better. And then learning more about, somewhere in there, I discovered the Fair Play Method, which is not my method. It's a book by a woman named Eve Rodsky. And I remember reading her book going, this is it. This is the answer to so much of what ails us as women and as moms. And as much as I love a good book on mom rage, this book was very much here is a tactical solution that we can use. And so then I just did more research and just started to really pay attention to it, because I noticed it in my own life. I noticed it in friends' lives. And I just we can do better. And I want to be a part of that solution to all of this and just making it better in our society.
Absolutely. That's so awesome. I also, by the way, am a huge, huge fan of Laura Vanderkam's work. So is there a favorite book of hers that you like?
I don't know how she does it, because it's just reality. It's not just this mom or this woman did this thing. It's just these moms and these women were piecing together their lives. I think she calls them mosaics. And so it's just these little snippets, and it's based in reality versus a book that is very structured of the, you need to do these steps and do these five things every day forever and your life will get better. She's just like, this is reality. And some days it's going to be pretty and some days it's going to be messy and we're going to get through it together. And I just love her approach to all of it.
I mean, yes, I think that there are so many brilliant women, yourself included, that are doing really important work to transform the ways that women can live their lives and imagine their lives. So could you talk a little bit about this mental load of motherhood? Like, what is that? How do we recognize when we might be carrying a mental load? How is that different than maybe the more visible loads that we carry?
Yeah. So the mental load is all of the planning that goes on behind the scenes. It's the knowing what toilet paper your family likes and paying attention to whether or not the bathrooms need toilet paper. It's the what condiments are in your fridge. Where do you find them? Knowing when it's time to sign your kids up for daycare and or childcare for summer camp or register them for school and who is their doctor and like all of these things that we just that keep life running that, you know, when was the last time anybody changed out their toothbrushes? Like whatever little things that we need to take care of needs to fall on women who have been conditioned to take care of all of it from when we were little. And for the most part, the men in our lives were not, they were conditioned not to see it, but their moms most likely just took care of it. And so they didn't see it. They didn't know that it happens. And we as women just, oh, this just has to happen. And there's so, it's just like the ticker tape of to-dos that are constantly running through your head or waking up at 2 a.m. going, did we feed the dog or are we almost out of toothpaste? And just all of these things that keep the household functioning that might not happen out in front of everybody. People don't always see our to-do list or they don't see what's running through our brain. And it's exhausting. It is mentally exhausting. It's physically exhausting. And it takes a toll on us over time and on our relationships as well.
Absolutely. Even prior to having kids, you're doing and you're navigating, you know, because you're still, you know, maybe caring for a home. But I remember, you know, even when my kids like started school, there's just these additional things that happen at each stage that they have and going, oh my gosh, I have to sign up for camps in March for the summer. And like, so I have to be planning our summer, like in the middle of Iowa winter, because otherwise my kids aren't going to have these opportunities if I don't do it on time. You know, it was like the wildest. I had no idea. And like, luckily I have amazing other mom friends, but I was like, how are you supposed to know this? Like, how did you learn this? And like, also just the labor of learning that you're supposed to do this, like, and how do you gather this information? It's just, it's bonkers. Like, how do you think we got here?
I love this question because it's a lot of different things. It's being conditioned is when we're little or when we have small children, we give the girls play kitchens and play dolls. And that's what we encourage them to play with. We rarely, if ever, encourage boys to play with dolls and do the like housekeeping stuff because it's not manly or whatever stereotypes we want to throw at. And even though we're going to expect these boys to grow up to be parents and we don't let them do that when they're little. And so it starts there. And then for the most part, like our generation, most likely were raised in a traditional household. Maybe mom was working, but for the most part, mom was also doing most of the work. And so the men didn't necessarily see all the work that it took to run a household. It was kind of hidden from them. Not necessarily intentionally. That was just the way that generation was raised and the way that they were raising their kids. And so now we have a generation of women who are like, what the hell? Sorry if I can say that here. Like, what's going on? Like, this is not okay. And then we're angry and we're resentful and it's taking a toll on us. But our partners don't see it. They don't understand because they never saw it growing up. And so they don't understand why we're so mad. And then the passive parts come out of like, I'll read stories of like, well, I was so mad, asked my husband to do laundry and he left it in the washer and didn't change it out. So I just dumped the wet pile of laundry on his pillow. Like, well, we're not solving problems here. We're just kind of being rude to each other. And we, in general, we're just not taught how to communicate about all of this. We don't know how to sit, or this isn't working. Can we come up with something different? Because it's so many things from people pleasing as women. I mean, that could be a whole other episode on just how we get into the people pleasing part of it. But we just get into this feeling like it's just easier for us to take it all on. Oh, well, my husband's not going to load the dishwasher correctly, or he doesn't. It's easier if I just do all the laundry instead of teaching him how to work the washing machine. He's going to forget, or he's not going to fold the clothes quite like I want them to be folded. good. And so, because there's also then that the judgment we feel from society, well, our house needs to be a certain way. It needs to be clean. It needs to be organized and beautiful, and things need to be done a certain way. And so we don't want to let anybody else do it because it might not live up to the standards we've set for ourselves. There's like 12 different answers.
Yeah.
So it's messy. Like, it's messy and complicated, but it's years and years and generations got us here.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's so interesting to me because, like, on one hand, there is research that shows that, you know, men, they're frustrated by gender norms too. And they're saying, hey, I want to have more meaningful relationships with my kids. I want to have deep and meaningful relationship with my guy friends, right? And there are ways that I think they're recognizing the way that gender norms have created barriers for them too, you know? But I think there's a difference between like, oh, I want to have a deep and meaningful relationship with my kids, and oh, I think I really want to learn how to do laundry better. You know, and then like that, I think that, you know, it's not just like women going, oh, I don't, you know, like my husband, I'm going to have to teach him how to do the laundry or something. Because like, we really have been conditioned and taught how to do these things. But when if we do turn those responsibilities over, there is like a learning curve there because these are skills. So like, you have all of these things going on. I love that you kind of point out the way that it impacts our relationships too, because it's so hard. And I know that I've experienced that, you know, my partner and I, so my husband and I, we were married for 10 years before we had kids. And then when we had kids, you know, up to that point, I was like, oh, this marriage thing's easy. I don't like understand why people are like, marriage, you have to work at it. And then like, I had kids and I was like, oh, and you know, I really had to make some adjustments in terms of learning how to ask for what I needed. I think, you know, you kind of talk about the mental load and how invisible those mental loads are. And then it makes you feel invisible. So like, some of it is you're like, I want to be seen, and I want to be seen by my partner, because like, you can't be grateful or appreciative for things that you don't even know are happening. How do you sort of explain, oh, well, I don't care if our house is messy when we have people over? Well, you aren't going to be, like, you aren't the one that gets judged for that in the same way because of other cultural norms. So it is, it's super messy. So how in the heck do we help moms address this mental load? You know, what process do you have that can kind of help us navigate this messy muck?
So there, I will also throw in that a lot of it starts because moms get maternity leave. If women are lucky enough to have leave, their partners usually do not. And so it starts very much there, in that the men aren't home when the kids are little, gaining that experience, and women gain that experience. And then we just assume, well, I'm just better at it because I'm the mom. It's like, not really. It's because you've just had way more experience. So there's a lot of societal things that can happen. In my own business, I start with, like, my biggest thing is wanting women to really evaluate and take a look at that conditioning. I start with my clients with your values individually and as a family. Like, have a conversation with your family, even with your little kids. What do we value? And if that feels too heavy, because there were years where the word values was just like, I can't do that. Talk about goals. Or what do we want this season of life to feel like? So are we signed up for and committed to activities that feel good, that match where we want to be headed? Or have we just signed up for every activity under the sun because that's what good moms do? That's what we do, is get our kids in all of these activities. Even though I'm so busy, I have where my kid needs to be from day to day, and they're miserable and nobody's happy. But this is what we're supposed to be doing. And so being able to take that time to step back and just go, okay, I do want to be this busy. Let's continue. Or you know what? I don't like having everybody at activities four nights a week. Can we cut back? And what would that look like? And then getting into, so it starts there, just really understanding like what is important to us as a family. What do birthday parties, as an example, I talk a lot about. Are we throwing elaborate birthday parties because we love to go big? We want a petting zoo and a bouncy castle and all of our friends? Or do we want three people and like a small, you know, pizza and a movie night with our friends? We have friends who love throwing elaborate birthday parties. I would much rather have my kids have a pizza and movie night or a sleepover with two of their good friends. That feels better to me than something over the top. And so really looking at the conditioning behind that, like, why are we doing this? Because we love it and that's who we want to be and who we are, or because we feel obligated to do it? And then from there, you can look at everything else that you are doing and figure out whether it's a yes or a no. to those? Of course, we still have to do laundry and dishes and clean the house. But what are those standards, right? I make it very clear to my friends, I don't really care if my house is a mess when you come over. And if you're going to judge me on it, we're not really good friends. My house isn't going to be growing mold, but there's probably going to be cat hair somewhere because I can't get rid of the cat hair. And I would rather see you than stress out about the state of my house. And I will never come over to your house and judge the state of your house because, again, it's those relationships are significantly more important. And I think when we can start on an individual level, kind of start in out of the world, it will start to change. So maybe our kids will feel differently. Hopefully before then it will change, but we have to start somewhere.
Absolutely. How do you sort of recognize that there are these structures and history in place that have created these things, but that we do have an ability to create what we want moving forward? And so how do we, you know, how do we say to our friends, like, I understand that this might be the expectation. I'm giving you permission to let your house be messy because I'm here for you, not for your house. You know, and I think that like what it's like wild that when we sort of take control and say that like we do have an ability to set the terms for how we want to relate to each other and how we want to gather and how we want to throw birthday parties. Like it really is, you know, so many of us are yearning for someone to just be with us in that way. And so, you know, a lot of times people are like, yeah, let's do this. You know, how do you feel like this is connected? Because, you know, all the moms I chat with are like overwhelmed, right? So how do you sort of see this sort of chronic overwhelm that moms are experiencing connected to all of this?
The overwhelm is coming from so many different places. It's the conditioning that moms need to do all of this stuff, that moms essentially need to do it all. We need to make sure our house is clean, our kids are well fed. They're doing all of these activities because we want them really, because we want them to get into a good college. And if we're not, if they can't get into a good college and get a good job, if we don't do these activities now, we feel obligated to do all of this stuff. We feel like we don't have time to take a step back and look at what we are doing and why. Like, I don't have time to take the 10 minutes to identify my values. Like, are you kidding me? Like, around the table. And somebody probably has to do their homework and it's probably bath night for somebody else. Like, I don't have this time. And may still getting being caught up in that, well, I could sit, you know, it's lovely to say that I'm not going to clean my house before my friends come over. But what if they're going to judge me? Or if it's my mother or my in-laws or my aunt, they're going to come over and judge me. And so there's some inner work in there of like shifting, working on, and I'm not saying that any of this is easy. Like I fully understand that, but maybe it's picking one place in your life that you were just like, something has to shift. And maybe it's one less activity each semester. And I have heard from folks like, well, hey, my son does soccer because everybody else on the street does soccer. And if he doesn't do soccer, he's not going to get to hang out with his friends. Okay, but how many other families are feeling the same way? And if you stop, three other families stop, and now your kids have an afternoon to just ride bikes up and drink, be kids in a very unstructured way. And I think it just takes one or two people to say, this isn't working, and to do something different, and then start those conversations with our friends of like, look, I did this thing. Hey, I found this person or I found this book, and it's really changed the way that I'm looking at my life. And I feel better. I am not falling into this trap of feeling like I have to do everything all of the time. And yes, there's still going to be dishes and piles of laundry and vacuuming and whatever needs to happen. But like when you know that you are focused on the big things and you are doing the things that you really want to be doing, you want to have time to explore something for yourself, which is one of the end goals. And really should be one of the first things we're doing is before we sort out how you're spending your time, let's schedule one time a month that you get to go take a painting class or a dance class or sit in a coffee shop and read a book. And like, it's time just for you to fill your own cup, just for you, not because you're pouring your cup, but your cup just is for you and you are filling it for yourself. But that overwhelm is really because we feel so obligated to do all of this stuff and we don't know how to say no. And we don't know how to shift it so it's not all falling on us, and how to talk to our partner about it, and how to just get out from under this pile of overwhelm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that when we're so overwhelmed, we're also dissociated from ourselves in ways that I can't tell you how many times I'm working with a client or talking with a girlfriend and they're like, I don't even know what it is that matters to me because I'm too busy. You know, I don't know what I enjoy. I don't know what I would do with free time. Ha ha. You know, like, and I think that it's hard to know whether or not you're living your values if you don't have even enough space to know what your values are, or to go like, oh, well, I want to spend time on what matters. Well, I don't know what matters, you know? And I do think, though, when you sort of give yourself permission to first do that and to name what also matters to your family, all of a sudden it is wild when all of a sudden you realize, oh, I thought this was important to my kid. And then I started talking to them and like they were okay with us letting this go. They would rather have another night at home. And, you know, I think we then start actually connecting and relating to each other. And it's pretty magical when that can happen. So if there's one thing about planning and goal setting, which is my jam, right, that you would want listeners to know, like, what would that be?
Yeah, I think just as you were speaking about how so many women don't know what it is that they want and what is important to them, I think one of the biggest first steps that you could take here would be to plan one night a month, if that, you know, more if that feels doable, but one night to just do something for you. And if you don't know what that is okay. Like it could just be that you're going to go sit in your bedroom with a book, or you're going to just go watch Netflix, which isn't ideal, but it's certainly something, right? Like don't go doom scroll and or play on your phone, put your phone somewhere else. Maybe it's you just start taking a walk around the block once a week. You just walk around the block. That's it. The point being, you are going to carve out time that is just for you. And only you and your husband or partner can have that same. You each get one night a month where you are not in charge of the bedtime routine and you leave the house. And maybe for a while, you just go to the nearest parking lot and you just sit there and you listen to music. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here. This is ridiculous. This is silly. Why am I here? And you just do that for 10 minutes and you go home and you build up that time. And over time, I think you will start to learn what it is that is important to you and where kind of sort of come back into who you are. And it will take some time. And it may be that I just start with, let me figure out how to get through my day better. Let's come back to that piece of my own time, but start with how can I get the dishes and laundry and work and all of this other stuff done? So one of those two, whichever one resonates more or feels easier or a little bit more doable, just pick one and work towards that.
I absolutely love that. And it's so simple and not necessarily easy. But definitely, you know, it's sometimes the most simple things that we actually need to start healing us. So I absolutely love that. And, you know, start in a way that is easier for you. So if my listeners wanted to connect with you, Valerie, how could they do that?
So you can find me on Instagram at Stride Productivity, or you can come check out, I have a private podcast where I talk about all of this stuff, from the Fair Play Method to being a people pleaser, boundaries, all of this stuff in more depth. And you can find that at stride.com/school pickup line.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. Well, this was an absolute joy. I'm so glad that we got to connect.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. It's been great.
If this podcast has inspired you, guided you, or just made you laugh, the number one way that you can thank me is by leaving a written review for the show over on Apple Podcasts. I'm seriously tickled every time that I hear from you all. So pop onto Instagram and follow Plan Go Plan and digital message me. I want to say hello. I want to geek out about all things planning and goal setting. Keep sensing the possibilities, y'all.